welcome to In Vita, a semi-regular conversation between physiotherapy educators who are interested in curriculum reform, innovation and critical thinking about teaching and learning. My name is Ben Ellis. I'm a lecturer in physiotherapy at Oxford Brookes University in the UK.
And I'm Michael Rowe, a lecturer in the Department of Physiotherapy at the University of the Western Cape in South Africa. In Vita is an international virtual community that's free for anyone to join. You can find us on Google Plus by searching for the In Vita community or using the In Vita hashtag on Twitter. And without further ado, on with the conversation.
The idea here is that it's maybe, you know, all of us work with other people, and all of us, I'm sure, collaborate and share ideas within departments and outside at times too, but that some of the things, some of the opportunities we have to share ideas outside of departments aren't necessarily at a time and in a format that's useful for the other people. So we might all go to conferences and we hear people talk, but whether or not what they're talking about is something that we can make use of in our practice at that point, of the kind of look of the draw, really. This is around the sort of teaching idea that I'm putting forward as the first one for us to talk about, to have a bit of a conversation about. So it would be great if we could all, if everyone was able to be on that In Vita document together. Hopefully the background behind it was relatively clear from the document, and I'm hoping that we've all had at least a chance to kind of scan it, I'm happy to clarify any points around what it is that we're trying to do. If I just kind of talk through that context really, really briefly again. So this is a new module that we're processing together to start in September. So we had a revalidation of our programme 18 months or so ago, and last academic year, the second year, we've moved away from having modules which were defined by being about MSK conditions or respiratory or neuro. We've got a couple of ones that span much more across the different areas that physios might work in, one of which being long-term conditions, which is the one that I'm most involved with putting together. So what I was really keen to try and get to with this was a module that doesn't kind of go, okay, this is what condition X, and here's a list of facts that you need to know about that condition, and here's a load of things that you could do to when you're working with somebody with that condition. Although those are still important things to know, and I'm not discounting that knowledge, but I wanted to make it a module which absolutely pulled out the kind of key aspects of long-term condition management and differentiated that from the kind of model that students might be more comfortable with, or if someone has, you know, comes in, gets assessed, you come up with a kind of diagnosis that they've got, and then we treat it in the hope that it gets better, and at some point we discharge them. So just trying to kind of talk about long-term conditions being quite different to that model, and how the pathway changes, and how people might need to kind of access services, and the kind of services that they might need to access is going to change over time. And I think I've just added in this picture actually to the document, because for me that kind of sums up the key learning to get out of this, so that for kind of any kind of condition that is a long-term condition, the students might think about that, they'd be able to kind of consider how do people change as they're at different points within this diagram. So, you know, for most people with any long-term condition, a large part of the care is probably going to be care that they call themselves. But as obviously conditions get more complex, sometimes at later stages within that condition, then the level of need increases. So smaller number of patients, but more complexity. And so the amount of kind of professional support, care coordination, planning, interventions that are needed obviously increases as the complexity of the condition itself increases. But within everyone that's within that sort of triangle has the same baseline at diagnosis. So we can't just know, oh, so-and-so has condition X. We've actually got to think about the individual, what point they're at with that, and what the needs that they have are, and just try to apply that thought process, I guess, to anything that might come up. So that's the kind of background. It's a module that spans, it's a sort of semester and a half module. So there's quite a lot of teaching time, contact time that we can have and we can use. We're keen to try and build this around an inquiry-based learning approach. Michael's going to come in and probably give some more detail here. Maybe go for it, Michael.
So the one thing that kind of, now you've talked about the change that you want to make, but the one thing that hasn't come through that I'm not quite clear on is why you think this change is necessary. Why look at the module in this way and not do it in, you know, what we might call a more traditional way, where you just tell the students, this is what you need to do. So what problem does this solve for you in your department?
Okay, I think, yeah, that's a really, really great question. I think, I suppose from, it comes out of, I mean, and that links into kind of a question, a key question that I've written down, for, which was what I wanted to think about today, which is kind of what is it that students need to know about long-term conditions, about the conditions themselves, about the management of them. So in the process of going out and visiting students on in practice when they're doing their placements, one of the things, you know, that kind of often crops up is this the quote about not having covered a certain thing or you know, as a particular condition, or only having very briefly covered a condition. And so it's felt to me that if we put the focus on if we structure our teaching around certain conditions, students feel that they have either learned or not learned about each of those conditions in turn. And it maybe doesn't emphasise the kind of crossover of knowledge between things. And probably doesn't reflect how we need to work in practice, because when we say we've covered a condition, I'm not quite sure what by that. And in reality, in practice, we're coming across you know, conditions that we won't have covered on any undergraduate or postgraduate course all the time. And that doesn't mean that we don't know anything about how to treat or to manage that condition, or how to work with those people. It means that we need to add some condition-specific knowledge, probably on top of the basics that we know about how to work with people with that overall broad type of condition, be it, you know, an acute or long-term condition or whatever. So I guess that was where I was coming from in terms of the module focus absolutely having to cover some of the key conditions students are going to encounter, and I'm not trying to get away from that entirely, but some of the key learning outcomes being around the kind of understanding the mindset of long-term condition management, and then being able to apply that to whatever condition you might need to, rather than the opposite way round. So feeling like there's lots of knowledge about a condition, but we've maybe not able to kind of adapt that to fit to the circumstances that someone might be in. So I don't know whether that answers that question. Cool. So from the comments, hopefully that's answered that. I've just seen Fiona's so similar experience in Nottingham long-term complex conditions module this year based on something similar. Cool. So the intent there was to reduce silo thinking. So Fiona, if you were happy to come in, I'd love to know whether the intent was realised. So I've seen that Fiona's unmuted her mic, but I can't hear Fiona. I don't know whether anyone else can. So Fiona, we can't hear you. I don't know whether there's anything you can toggle your end. So Fiona, I wonder if Roger's going to pretend to be Fiona. Cool.
Can you hear me?
Oh, we can hear you, yes.
All right. Do you want to come and use mine, Fiona?
Marty. Yeah, so we ran the module for the first time last year, and it was predicated on exactly the same issues that you were describing, Ben. Just this, you know, the clinical educators were saying that anything more complex, students didn't always think laterally and didn't draw on other aspects of knowledge, and that was both from a clinical perspective, but also that sort of personal and professional perspective as well. So we had some basic foundational work ran alongside the existing neuro and cardiorespiratory modules, but the bulk of the module was delivered by 8 separate cases, which again, like, you know, what you've been describing earlier, was very much geared away from conditions and more around cases and people and families and teams. Really well, the students generally enjoyed it. There was a very high percentage of service user input, which really contributed to the success of the module. But it's probably fair to say that it was quite discomforting for the students. They found it challenging, and it was a different way to work before sitting with it.
There was Joe was wanting to ask a question, and
question. And the question was it and maybe was the method presenting the information, or was that just the type of thinking the students were being asked to do? If you could expand on that would be great.
There were a couple of issues. So first, the first kind of discomfort, if you like, was strategic in that we'd had to pare down some of the existing modules in order to be able to build this long-term complex conditions module in. So there was background anxiety about them having this pared down version of, for example, the neuro module. And there was anxiety as that would be reflected in the final assessment for that module, and it absolutely wasn't in the end, but we had to deal with a lot of angst about that. The other things that they found discomforting was the pace. So we did a case a week, and some of the students found the pace a little too quick and would rather have had a smaller number of cases and more time to consider each case. The final thing, which I probably, you know, guess is more to do with a new module perhaps than the way that the module itself and the way in which it was delivered, was about the way in which we assessed the module. So they had two pieces of work to do. The first was a group assessment based around a case, for which they had to discuss the assessment of that case. And the second assignment was a an individual written piece based on the management of one of the problems they'd identified through their assessment. And I think really it was probably more to do just with the novelty of that assessment and the having not been any sort of any templates to follow or, you know, any previous work to catch sight of. But those were the main issues, really. So nothing that was insurmountable. And as I say, we had a really, really positive feedback, but I can't overemphasize the value that the service users added to that. So they were instrumental, not just in delivering the module, but also in designing it. In fact, many of them are personal cases.
Yeah, thank you. And absolutely, the thing about this is that I'm very keen to have service users involved. Something we've tried to incorporate in the first year modules that we've done, and absolutely, I think this is a really key area. We've got some excellent service users who have been involved in modules we've done in the past, who are going to the sessions that they have are going to come into here, and I think it's absolutely. I'm conscious that Michael's raised his hand, but also that Amanda has asked a couple of questions in there. So Amanda's quick. So if I can just throw this one back to Fiona as Amanda. So there was a question around was any of this linked to difficulty getting placements in core areas? And then I might save Amanda's comment about problem-based learning and maybe come back to that as a discussion point in a minute. So I'm not sure if Fiona, whether if there's been enough time passed to see whether this has made students any more comfortable going on to placements in different areas, or whether that's going to take a while to sort of see come through. But it'd be interesting if you had any comments on that.
It was linked to getting problems, to get placements in core areas. And yes, it is too soon to assess, although anecdotally, we have had some students who've said it really helped them prepare for their next clinical placement. I know you said we'd come back to it, but just Amanda's comment about students finding problem-based learning very hard and being unconfident that they're learning the correct information. Some of our feedback, they said, the students were saying, we don't see the point of learning about, you know, whatever the case happened to be, when we're not actually being assessed on that. And what we realised we needed to do was make far more explicit the fact that this module was about teaching them to think laterally and teaching them to problem solve, as opposed to it being about the conditions that, you know, that were listed or that, you know, that subsequently developed. We were quite canny about the cases, so we didn't say, you know, week one is osteoarthritis and week two is whatever. We called it, you know, Barbara's story or Frank's story. And we drip fed information. So at times it was a bit like a detective story for them. They had to uncover what was happening. And that was our way of trying to get away from this condition focus. But there were still a number of them who saw it as being taught about the management of an assessment of OA or ventilator acquired pneumonia or whatever else we had in there.
Thanks. So, in terms of the assessment, I'm just interested. This is only a quick question. Did you set the condition or the case study that the assessment was based around, or did the students have kind of free rein to pick from any of the? Because that's something that would be really useful for me when I'm thinking about how our assessment's going to work. If you don't mind, share.
So we had four completely new case studies that they were given in their groups, so that they had no choice in terms of the case study, but they were given quite significant creative license within that case study to try and make them feel more comfortable with how they wish to approach it. So all the cases had clearly a physical issue, but also you know, some psychosocial issues that they could develop too.
Great, thanks. And did you feel that the assessment, because I guess this is the kind of challenge with a problem-based learning or an inquiry-based learning approach, is do we actually then assess appropriately for the type of learning or the type of thinking, to come on to Michael's comment, that the students are doing? In fact, I'll open that one out to Michael as well, because he's been having his hand in the air for...
Thanks, Ben. In our experience in our department, implemented an inquiry-based learning approach a couple of years ago. We had a lot of the same problems that has been talking about, and this kind of massive discomfort with the students, because they think that their exams are largely going to focus on just content knowledge, so what they know about things, rather than testing them to think. And this leads to the assessment component that you just mentioned, Ben. In my opinion, the assessment has to be linked to the way that you are now doing your learning. So if you're going to do case-based learning, problem-based learning, inquiry-based learning, whatever you want to call it, and then you go away and do an exam that doesn't take that into account, then you're going to have a massive disconnect between the way that you're asking students to learn and the way that you're asking them to perform in an assessment. So the assessment has to change. There's no point in having the same assessment when you switch to an inquiry-based module. So just like you're asking the students to think and behave in the classroom the way that you expect them to think and behave in the clinical context, so your assessment has to expect them to perform as if it were a clinical context. So I think without any change in assessment, the students are going to be really, really uneasy. My two cents.
Yeah, great. And are there any kind of techniques or ways of trying to get at that, particularly that you guys tried to implement, that you think would be in terms of the actual assessment process and what that looked like, and how you went at trying to get to that kind of clinical thinking element? Yeah, sorry, come in on that. Yeah.
For us, we switched over to open book assessment with clinical cases that were really complex. And so the exam changed. It wasn't so much that the students had to come in remembering as many things as possible. They were able to refer to. And so, we had to change it, because we're testing. If we say that we're trying to develop thinking, then the assessment has to develop thinking. Or the assessment has to test thinking, sorry, rather than... So we just opened it up to open book assessment with really complex cases, and then looked at students' reasoning. You know, how did they get from point A to point B? So point B isn't the answer. It's everything that happens from the introduction of the problem to the solution. And, you know, students may come up with many different paths to get to the solution at the end. or they may all have the same path but come to different solutions. So that tells you a lot about students' ability to think through the case that you've given them. So yeah, you kind of move from an objective kind of test where you ask, do the students know this thing, to a more subjective test where you ask, where you're asking the students to say, to tell you a little bit more about how they think. So their answers are usually in the form of, I think that because of. So rather than just, the answer is A.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks for sharing. I think there's definitely, that's something that I've been thinking. So it's not going to be an exam type assessment that I was planning. It's quite interesting actually hearing Fiona. So what I was working along was probably broadly similar actually, in that there's a group element to the assessment, although with individuals assessed within there, and then a sort of individual written piece. So it's quite interesting that it sounds like quite a lot of similarities between A, the approach taken to kind of establish the module, but then actually that obviously leads us to a certain point in terms of what that assessment might look like. If it's okay, I'm going to indulge myself and ask a question. I'd like people's thoughts on this. So we've been talking a bit about how that kind of case study works and how we're trying to move students away from feeling like that they've got to learn these facts about this condition because that's what they're going to be tested on. So I'd really value anyone's thoughts on the way that I'm considering doing this, where there are essentially with a bigger inquiry, and coming back onto time scales, which is a question asked earlier. So the plan is for this to span sort of 2 or 3 weeks, but that each group, there'll be sort of groups doing each one of the three different conditions. Not each group is going to do every one, which I think is going to probably freak the students out a little bit, in that they'll feel like they're not getting the same depth of learning across all the conditions. But do people feel that can be an effective way of showing that actually the key learning here isn't about the conditions? The key learning is about the approach to long-term conditions management and looking at those commonalities and themes across several conditions as a way of trying to highlight that's the learning we're trying to get to here. Just be anyone who wanted to come in on that, I'd appreciate the thought. So Michael's feeling that's going to be tricky. I'm minded to agree with that. Anybody else have any? Okay, we've got a hand from Michael. So yeah, come back in, Michael.
I feel like I'm monopolising the audio. So please, if other people want to say something, then go ahead. I was just going to very quickly say to you, Ben, one of the challenges that we found was that nothing else in the department changed. So the fact that 10% of the curriculum was now inquiry-based with open book assessment wasn't really that important because everything else in the curriculum stayed the same. So for every other module, the students were still just trying to memorize as many facts as possible. So in terms of the message that you're sending students, you're still saying to them that content memorization is important because that is what is going to get you through the year. This little module where you've got to think, you can fail this module completely and still get through. So, we must also look at the curriculum across the year level and to see what messages we're sending students with our assessments in other modules.
Okay, great. Thanks. Yeah, I agree with that. And I think that we've certainly made efforts to try and consider how in the first year in second, but it's some of that is tricky and comes back to what the expectations of placement providers and educators are in terms of students having learnt facts and kind of content knowledge in the same way that they did to prepare them for placement as that they would see it, and that's something we need to consider. I'm going to offer Mark the opportunity to come in here if you wanted to expand upon anything that you were just saying there about the assessment, and if we're thinking that that's what might guide how students engage with it, whether there's anything that I should be considering to make sure that we're getting the right learning.
Yeah, no, I just jotted the point there about it kind of relates to what Michael was saying about discomfort, and I think often they ultimately come back to the assessment. So I think it's about how you set their expectations around what the assessment is going to be on in terms of how condition focused it will be, as to, and I was kind of responding to the point you were talking about in terms of their anxieties about if the different groups are doing different conditions and whether that's going to feel okay or not to them may well be related to how the assessment is set up at the end.
I think my thoughts here was that this is definitely not going to be a very purist inquiry based approach in its entirety, so that there will be some level of content knowledge that we are covering conditions, and I think part of my thinking behind that is to reduce that anxiety, so that there will be content. And that was where the idea of the BIP classroom approach wasn't necessarily about we were doing things in. It was more to kind of provide, a fairly sort of standardised amount of information and background to every condition that all the students could access, and not just access at the time of doing the module, but that still existed for them to go back to when they were going out on placement and potentially thinking about what assessment they wanted to choose. So I guess that was partly my way of kind of mitigating that. But I'm conscious that then that puts a slight conflict in that it's moving away probably from what we might consider to be a more sort of purist problem-based or inquiry-based approach. And so with every element of that I put back in, I feel I'm maybe changing the message that we're giving around what kind of learning, what kind of thinking we want the students to do. So at what point do we cross back over from being inquiry-based into reinforcing maybe the things that I'm trying not to? Mark or anyone has any thoughts back on there? I'm going to hold off on offering Michael for a second in case anyone else wants to come in. Joe, would you want to chip in at all to this one?
Yeah, hi. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. Yeah, we can.
So just going back to the context that you set for this. So our first year students have actually had a lot of scaffolding in ability of learning in this way. So based learning and all of those anxieties and feelings of discomfort, we feel that lost in their first academic. So firstly, just to comment on nicely teed up in terms of their preparation to learn in this way for this module. So I just wanted to reinforce that, really. But also, just a thought around, even with that, I think we just need to be potentially, they are going to be fixed on content information, they're going to be very, very fixed on condition knowledges. It's going to be able to sort of move them away from that and expect from the higher level reasoning, which is my understanding of what we're asking at this stage, when they don't necessarily have that foundation knowledge of the condition. I don't know how we those two things up.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely going to be the challenge. And actually, I think that's why I'm keen that there is. We certainly give a kind of baseline level of knowledge, which is about the condition, but it still requires the students doing that condition for the purpose of this inquiry to go and find out a little bit more, so that when they are then bringing that back, and in terms of that presentation, there was a question earlier around would there be quite a lot of kind of similar work then being presented back. But my idea being that each small group would only present back to two of the groups who'd done different conditions, so that then we're getting that learning across. And again, there was a question Michael had posted on the document around how that would be sort of structured and how the feedback works. That would absolutely, with sort of someone else in there to facilitate that discussion, so that we certainly it's giving a baseline knowledge, it's pushing some students to go a bit further and then them share that knowledge back, but showing that actually we could work off of the baseline if we've then got a framework we're trying to apply it to in terms of how long-term condition management might go, to give them something to build on. Which kind of, I'm going to bring in Anestis here, because you were just asking about having a framework to identify similarities. That was absolutely something that I was wanting us to kind of get to probably in sort of the third week of this inquiry, in terms of getting the students back together to discuss and look at, well, what are the commonalities and differences, and reflect why they needed to be similar in the context of the different conditions. What is it about the condition itself, or the type of condition, the area of practice, that requires those differences to be present? So I don't know whether you wanted to come in at all on that, Anestis, and either ask a question further or thoughts.
Yeah, thank you. I don't have a specific solution. I just thought that if students have difficulty
is buying that the conditions are similar or different conditions have many commonalities, it may has to become explicit that what are the similarities of these different conditions. And and I missed the part when you were describing the approach that you're planning to follow. I missed the part that there will be a final discussion where one group will be presenting to other groups, but potentially there could be a discussion guide where there will be some questions there about students reflecting about the commonalities and the differences of the different conditions.
Yeah, thanks. I think that's a really good thought. It's trying to plan ahead in terms of what I'm asking them to sort of give some structure to what they're pulling into it. I think I'd started to kind of maybe map some of those things. It's difficult because it started to feel like I was getting a very long list here of stuff they had to cover. And the plan, so we tend to use quite a lot of docs and slides. So it would probably be for each group to work on a Google slide sort of shared presentation that they could then do back. So maybe it's just giving kind of headings to each of the four or five slides that they've got to produce, or some guidelines to what could go onto each of those, so that there is a kind of sort of structure mapped out. And then I think probably it's about me going through that and kind of talking through that to some extent at the start in a broad common way that doesn't talk about any condition in particular, but just talks about kind of long-term conditions as a whole, as an introduction to it. Be interested to know do you think that would be a good approach to take that, either Anestis or anybody else who wanted to come in on that?
States, perhaps it's not really bad or it's not negative to talk about specific conditions, because then you would be discussing about the commonalities of the different conditions, and it's more about unwrapping the commonalities and say this is very similar to this. The challenges that the person, I don't know, with spinal cord injury is facing is perhaps some of the challenges may be very similar to another chronic condition or something like that. So I think talking about specific conditions is not necessarily at that final stage is perhaps not necessarily a negative. Just a thought.
Yeah, I think that I would 100% agree with that. That there's definitely an opportunity there. It's not the conditions don't get parked, and actually, hopefully, some of the learning that kind of continues to go on about the conditions is in that discussion. So that there's a chance to kind of reinforce, that areas of similarity and pick out particular differences that then relate to the individual conditions. I guess my concern in terms of me trying to run that is making sure that I'm broadly given a kind of equitable level of knowledge or focus of teaching to all of the group. If I'm doing this over several groups, how that pans out, which is I think a challenge, I don't know, probably we've all had in terms of that inquiry based approach where you're torn between letting it go where it goes, but also trying to make sure that we've kind of touched some sort of particular basis on we get there, so that the journey, if you like, that the students have gone on isn't too dissimilar, that we are equipping and getting them to the level them to get to. So definitely some thinking, I think, for me there to do for that. I was interested to see, Fiona, you were saying, we know you're about to go. I was going to ask you to come back in on the structured template, but Fiona's gone. Roger has also a comment. I wonder, did you want to just expand on a comment and the link that you just posted there, Rod?
I was trying to say, just like Anestis, really, it gets to a point when, I know this is a long-term conditions module, but you end up talking about, not about the conditions at all, but rather about patients, which is exactly what you want, but I'm just wondering if it's a bit of a case of looking down the telescope the wrong way again. But then the problem comes with, major fundamental overhauls, and then starting to lose the relationship with practice, which is of course embedded traditionally in conditions. So I do think that these sort of problem-based conditions modules that tend to try and approach it through the complexity of the real world. So that link I've added there isn't necessarily directly relevant to this, but it's an example of how you can, you know, the clinical reasoning module can shift. It doesn't need to be steeped in, you know, hypothetical deductive pattern recognition, condition pathology, disease-based thinking. It can be something other than that. But it's at what point you start to introduce those and how difficult that becomes to relate to what's going on already in clinical practice. So are we, and then this conversation is about who are we trying to produce here, some people to fit in with clinical practice or to drive the future of a different clinical practice, which will look very different as a generation or something. So, you know, I think you do start to those questions.
Yeah, I would 100% agree, and that's probably a wider conversation that we could expand into, but maybe save for another day, because I'm conscious of the time, and it's 3:00 in the UK, and so I'm going to suggest, unless I don't know whether anyone has anything particularly burning that they wanted to add, that from my perspective, that's been really interesting, and certainly. It's great to hear other people's ideas from their experiences, but also questions about where I was at with the thinking has been great, and certainly food for thought to go away and think about, and I'll definitely be doing some more of that, and then coming back with okay changes that I've made and what this ends up looking like. I'm really keen to sort of share that back and try and loop here, if you like, so that this isn't you know, just a conversation that happened, but it's also something that could potentially be useful to anyone else thinking about similar in the future. And I'll definitely try and capture the conversation we've had in the group chat in some way over into the Google Doc as well. Really like to thank everyone else for chipping in. It's felt like a participatory thing and not like me sitting here talking, so hopefully that's something everyone else has found useful. Yeah, I'm going to invite Michael to come back in for any closing comments from him.
Thanks, Ben. I wanted to thank everyone for coming today. I just wanted to echo what Ben was saying in the beginning. The idea that we had was that we would be able to take a relatively deep dive into a topic and engage with it with the intention of kind of guiding or helping the person who's taking the lead, in this case Ben, to develop an idea, to kind of take that and then run with it over a period of time, and then to not kind of report back to the group in any formal sense, but to provide some kind of feedback to the community to say, you know, I've taken all of your ideas, I've tried it like this, and this is what we found, or this is what we're finding. So the idea is that we kind of are developing a community of practice using this. So as Ben was saying, the document will stay open, and the idea is that we come back to it once I'm adding a few on our reflection, and then for Ben to come back to us in a couple of weeks, a couple of months, and to just let us know how things are going.
Okay, so it looks like everyone's happy for us to do that, so we will post that soon and check back in, and we'll just keep the conversation happening and keep you updated with things in beta community on Google+. So one final thank you for your time, participation, ideas, comments, everything. It's been really great, and I hope to see you all again soon. Cheers. So we hope that you enjoyed listening into this conversation and that it has stimulated some thoughts about your own teaching. Please do remember that the Google Doc that's linked to this conversation is still open. You can find that on the Google+ community. So if you have further thoughts or questions, then please do add them in there. Also, if you've got a topic that you think it would be good for us to discuss on InBeta, either in the next session or at a later date after that, then please do let us know, as we're going to be putting suggested topics to the vote within the community to see what people would like to talk about.
And please remember that this community and approach to collaboration is a work in progress, so we'd really appreciate any feedback you have that will help us improve the experience. You can leave comments on SoundCloud, or you can join the Google+ community and participate there.